Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
Welcome back to The Good Life, beautiful people. It is an awesome episode today. Man, Easter Sunday's coming up. It's spring. Flowers are out, trees are blooming, and we've got an awesome guest on today, Sarah Jakes Roberts, talking about her new book, Woman Evolve. Man, really powerful interview, y'all. If you are somebody who's trying to get rid of the shame of your past and kind of call out your future and all that God has for you, she is a walking example of kind of carrying this burden from childhood of being under the veil of just kind of her father, you know, T.D. Jakes, kind of growing into her own person and finding her own story with God. And so it's an awesome interview with Sarah Jakes Roberts. Plus two, we're bringing in a new segment today called Up for Debate. It's Saz versus Steve. Of course, you got to wait to see what the topic is that we're debating, but trust me, you're going to want to hear about this. It's all afoot, if I can say. All right, you guys, stick around. This episode of The Good Life is about to get good.
Oh, yeah.
That song reminds me of a song that we would probably have listened to when we've just been driving, cruising.
Babe.
Cruising down the, what was that highway called that goes through Malibu?
And, oh, yeah. See,
what is that highway called?
You're right on with that.
Cruising down the, it's
the
off PCH, the 405.
The yes. One, baby. But you're so right on. Mm. That song to me, not that song, sorry, that band. Which is Real Estate. That song is called Soon by Real Estate. That band to me is like ultimate beachy summer, yeah. Like spring vibes.
Like going to Malibu.
And
which
they just
I
came
miss.
Out with a new album. So I figured, I feel like we should play that on The Good Life. That is Real Estate. And by the way, that is something we would listen to because in college, when you would come over,
uh-huh. You played that?
We would play them, not that because that's new, but that. We would play them all
aww.
The time.
You know, that really did remind me of like a beach. And all of a sudden now I'm like, man, looking out the window and I love where we live, but I'd love to be on a beach somewhere, just laying down in the sand with you, babe, our feet dipped into the sand,
our toes
every
dipped.
Now and then going down, splashing in the water, coming back, laying out, talking, eating. Man, remember those days?
I feel like summer,
no
though,
disturbances.
Summer hits in Texas right after Easter. Like our spring is like a month long and then it's just summer for about 5 months. So we literally have summer vibes coming up. We are going to the beach.
We're
soon,
getting away for a little
bit. Which I'm excited about. I'm very excited about going to the beach. But Easter is coming up and Easter says we'll have marked two years. It'll have marked 2 years since we decided to sell our house.
Oh, I thought
California.
You were going to say... It also marks when we found out we were pregnant with Teenie, which is, that marks over 3 years.
So we're hosting Passover at our house, y'all. And our good friends, Josh and Misha, that are living here for a year. Misha is Jewish. Josh is Jewish now by association. But we're hosting Passover at our house, yeah. Babe. We've got like 20 people coming over.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, Misha's Messianic. So she's Jewish, so she's Messianic. She, you know... knows Jesus, loves Jesus, but then also still celebrates the beautiful traditions that come from her Jewish heritage. So we're going to be having the Seder, is what it's called, at our home. We're hosting it. And it's like our first gathering, really, in 2021 like this.
Yep.
You're going to have about your family
yep.
and her family, but it's going to be about, you know, 15 people or so. And it's going to be a night where we're renting tables and chairs and doing music. Her father, Marty Goetz, amazing.
Oh my gosh,
amazing,
he's gonna serenade
singer, so.
All of us. You've probably seen on our Instagram if you follow us, but this spring feels it feels so good. This spring feels so good. Spring 21 feels so good.
It feels fresh.
Well, last year obviously was last year, 2020. Shout out to you. And so it was just last year, right? And then we had this giant freeze in Texas like a month ago. But this spring feels so good. It feels like new life, literally yeah. new life, like outside. You see everything is so green right now. The sky is blue.
Maybe it was because of that snowstorm. Like, it feels really good here.
That's possible. But I just feel like there's actually like a resurgence of liveliness in the world.
Yes, you know? I feel that.
And I feel like specifically between you and I too, though, there's like a resurgence of like excitement and vigor. And one of my friends was telling me, he was like, dude, you just seem so light right now.
Yeah. And you do, you've lost weight too.
Oh, thank you, man. It was a couple pounds.
You're like, still I was talking spiritually, but
I got a way to go. But really, I just feel so light. I feel good right now. I feel hopeful.
I think the word you're looking for is replenished.
Ooh.
I feel replenished.
I feel like there's a new me though. So I don't feel replenished from like an old me was tired. I think I was tired of some of the old baggage I was carrying.
And you left that behind.
Which was a lot of like fear and doubt, you know, guys. Like Saz and I, we have such big dreams, and people probably be like, you guys don't seem that way to me, but I think we have our own, you know, our own fears and doubts about our future. And by the way, that's our daughter.
Sorry.
But I just had a lot of, I think, fear that I didn't realize was holding me back from just doing the things that I want to do. And I just felt like I had to be very careful and choosy.
Yeah.
And now I feel like the door is wide open. Opportunity is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I have this new excitement.
I love that. And, you know, for everybody who's taking the time to listen to us today in the show, you know, I know that we're all kind of, it's going to be April soon. It is April. There's still those little remnants, right, of 2020, and everybody is slowly but surely getting back to life, back to reality. And that doesn't mean the pandemic and COVID is gone, but everybody is kind of starting to get back into either the swing of things or creating a new swing of things. And I just want to encourage you before we get into today's show, that I believe that God is really doing something new here. And in the midst of 2020, the madness, the chaos, we all went through it. What I think we forget sometimes to acknowledge is there was still this beauty that came from the chaos and the disaster that 2020 was. Not to say that it wasn't a serious year and that a lot of lives were taken, unfortunately, by this horrible, horrible disease. But I think what God allowed to happen in 2020 was that everybody sort of, our lives were all shaken up. We all realized in the midst of a crazy year that you can work from home. For many of us, and for people who are even in the corporate world, you could work from home. For those who couldn't go to church every Sunday, that didn't mean that you couldn't still get in a good virtual godly, you know, fellowship with your church. So a lot of things went virtual. But then also I want to say that there, through the disorientation that was 2020, there was this beauty. And I think God really wants us to see that disorientation doesn't have to be an uncomfortable thing or something that discourages us. You know, it is actually a beautiful thing. And I think it is, God is really retraining us, I think, his children, his people, how to think, how to do life, and really finding the beauty in the disorientation that comes with life. And so I just want to encourage everybody that maybe I can speak for myself, like past couple weeks being mom life, work life, juggling it all. I've just been feeling like things have been so out of my regular routine. And I think God has really shown me that that doesn't have to be a bad thing. You know, you could be doing the same workout for years even and suddenly plateau and feel like you're hitting a wall, you're in a rut. But that also doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It means God doesn't need you to do that in this hour. And you need to embrace what is going on in your life in this hour and kind of lean into that disorientation.
I think, too, one thing I've been picking up on to add to that is we constantly, I feel like, are questioning like God's sovereign plan for us and our lives. And we're constantly questioning like, oh, am I like in his plan or am I walking in my purpose? Am I doing everything right? Mm-hmm. You know, should I be working harder or how can I allow myself to rest when I have all these things to do? And I think there's so many conversations that we've had. And then last week's episode with Tony Anderson was so good, talking about being in that rhythm with God and trusting him for your provision. Mm-hmm. And Amari is amening me right now. But I think it's so hard sometimes to just rest.
Yeah.
And to just be in God's good rhythm, because his rhythm, I mean, he says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. And God doesn't want us to be striving all the time, working so hard, worrying. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble in itself.
Yeah.
And so that's something I've been really learning to embrace in a really deep way, because the deeper you can get into that understanding that like God literally is going to provide my needs and I don't have to kill myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard for me to believe, because growing up, I watched my dad like really work himself like to the bone. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that. And it's just, it's a hard balance to find, but I think that's what I'm trying to find, is like, God gives us time to rest.
For sure.
And then there's time to work.
Mm-hmm.
But like really being able to just kind of be in rhythm with him and let him lead and provide.
There's power in rest. And I think we should do another episode on this specifically, but one of your spiritual mentors who's become, you know, a mentor for me too, Brian Schwartz, he was in Austin last weekend and he actually came over, and he is just has this incredible gift and anointing from God where he really can really hear and speak and see through the Holy Spirit, just amazing things. Like anyways, reached out to us a few times over the past couple of years with just these incredible words that he's had for us from God himself. And it's just been really cool to encounter God through him. Anyways, he came over and it's actually the first time I was meeting him, and he actually had a lot to say, and he dropped a lot of really incredible knowledge and wisdom and truth and revelation about just so many things that God time and time again, you know, has said, but in a new, he said it in a way that was so relevant to today's time and everything. But one thing specifically that I had been struggling with that he didn't even know really until he got into speaking and tuning into the Holy Spirit. And I had told him I felt really bad about quiet time, babe. And I've told you this, like, I just hate that I haven't had my quiet time. I haven't gotten into the word, like just my quiet time with God just always sets the tone for a winning day. And I just felt like the worst student of God. Like I should be in the word. I should be, you know, really formulating that time. And anyways, one of the first things he said to me, one of the first things he said to me, when God literally was speaking to me, he said, I don't need you to formulate quiet time with me, daughter. That's God's words right there. You're like, I don't need you to formulate quiet time with me. I don't need you to sit with me, because I'm teaching you how to walk with me and lean into that. And that really, was breakthrough for me. And maybe for some of you listening, we can be so hard on ourselves sometimes, like you said, Steve, so strategic and trying to formulate and go do the most and be the most, whether it's for our families or the kingdom, for God. And God is so simple sometimes in how he just expresses his love and drops knowledge and wisdom in our lives. And he literally just said, you don't worry about formulating time with me. You don't have to formulate. You don't even put me on your calendar, your agenda.
Yeah.
I don't need you to sit with me. I'm teaching you how to walk with me. And it's like, God is just like, don't even worry about, don't even sweat that, because I'm teaching you something new in this disorientation of a season we're in. So anyways, we wanted to just encourage you guys with that word. We can even go in more in depth on that if you guys are interested in another episode.
Well, I think too, I just want to make a note there, is that obviously it's super important, I think, to get into your word and, you know, read the stories in the Bible. And, you know, if you're trying to grow in your relationship with the Lord, and I know that's not what you were saying, but I think what Brian was saying to you and what God was saying to you was just like, bring me into everything, every situation, everything you do.
All day, every day.
And I think that it's a lot easier than we think it is. God doesn't give us this long list of to-dos to experience him. He just wants somebody with an open heart who is looking for him, listening for his voice, wanting to walk with him and have a relationship with God, you know? And I think there's so many of us who miss the mark by just saying like, God is up in heaven. He's not present in my everyday life. When in fact, the very reason he sent his son, you know, Easter Sunday, we celebrate, died for our sins, is so that he could have a very close relationship with us.
Yeah.
And not only is God God and he's perfect, but he took on the shape of man, the form of man, and he was God and man at one time. and he completely understands everyone who's going through abuse, rejection, betrayal, temptation. Like God himself, Jesus, was a person who went through those things. You know, his friends left him to die, you know, his best friends. They denied saying they even knew him when he was going to be crucified. You know, he was spat on by the very people that he was going to die for. I mean, he understands human hurt, human struggle, human pain. And he just wants us to walk with him so that he can ease our burdens. And that's all he wants from us. And so I'm glad that you brought that up, babe, because I think it's so important for so many of us to take the pressure off ourselves and just simply
show
like,
up.
All right, God, like I want you in my life.
Yeah.
Praying every day. Like even if it's small prayer, it doesn't have to be, I'm on my knees in my bedroom. It's you're in the car, you're driving. And you're like, God, I want to bring you into where I'm at right now. Or I'm struggling with anxiety or, you know, Lord, I want more joy in my life. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? And so I think it's so important to bring him in.
I think how much we invite God into our lives, that amount of like how much we open up our hearts is the amount that God can really pour into and how much he can really bring and pour into your life. And he's always there and he's always giving us his grace. And I just know that in this season of life and after 2020, it's the perfect time to really open up your hearts, get into your spirits and really like do that spring cleaning, right? And make room for God, because when you can make room for God in your life, man, he can replace some of the things that you thought were like awesome with even better things that you would have never imagined when it comes to your purpose, your future, all the things that you fear. God can get in there and he can help you live a good life. If any of you actually want to know more about our faith, we actually did an Easter episode not too long ago. It was a couple years ago, I think, maybe a year ago. And it was what our faith means to us. Check out that episode if you do want to dive more into this topic.
All right, Zez, it's not time for our good news of the week. We're starting a new segment today. Now, I'm very interested to know, Good Life family, what you think about this segment?
Segment.
Let us know in the comments what you think about our new segment. This is called... Wait, we should have a sound effect. Can we? Okay.
This segment is called... It's up for debate.
Oh, my goodness.
In the red corner, we've got Suzanne Hendricks.
Hey.
Suzanne is known to be a pessimist. She's known to be a firecracker. Nope.
And pressing the button.
And then in the blue corner, we've got Steve Hendricks. He's known to be an awesome guy, a dad, and a just outstanding. Okay, now the topic.
Didn't even go here. Mean girls.
The topic that's up for debate today, you guys. Basically, I was inspired by this movie called The Great Debaters. Just saw it a couple weeks ago. It's an old Denzel Washington movie from early 2000s. Great movie. But I was like, dude, debating, so cool. So I was like, we need to have debates on our show.
Oh, my gosh.
These are about all kinds of topics. Today's topic, Saz is going to argue the negative, and I'm going to argue the affirmative. You are against this statement. I am for this statement.
Oh, what am I against?
The statement is... Flip-flops are sexy.
Oh,
Suzanne, you will have the floor first to argue the negative.
Can I get my Judge Trudy music? Judge Judy? that sounds like a murder.
Oh my God. I mean, it's kind of honestly like...
Saturday at 9 p.m., I saw flip-flops, and let me just tell you.
That's your music right there.
Okay, I'm just going to say this, and all I need is 30 seconds, okay? Flip-flops had a moment, and that moment is on the beach, and that moment should stay on the beach, because flip-flops, no matter how chic you try to make them, I don't care if you add the heel to them, it's still like this thong action happening between your toes, and it's just exposing your feet. And here's the thing, if you're a girl, all right, it's okay. You can get away with it, I guess. But if you're a guy wearing flip-flops, and you definitely did in college with jeans, what? And your feet are pale? Listen, I can't, Steve.
Listen,
it's Saz. Just not the best look. I mean, unless you're getting pedicures and you have the most beautiful feet. But even then, just the look of flip-flops, you could do better. There's so many cool sandal styles out there today. Even the Jesus sandal is a lot cooler, I think, on a guy than flip-flops. It's just, if you were on a first date and you're going to meet up this guy and you go and meet him up, tell me that his feet is not like a guy trying to not look at your chest.
Okay,
if you have a low-cut shirt. If I was... I couldn't help but like look down, and like you're trying really hard not to look down at his feet, but that's all you want to look at when you're wearing, when a guy's wearing flip flops.
Okay.
So leave Here's him my at
rebuttal.
Home.
Here's my rebuttal. Let's start with this. You're married to the flip flop guy. Okay. How about that? So somewhere deep in your psyche, you're thinking, ooh, those feet are kind of nice. I wish he clipped those toe hairs back a little bit, but yeah. Ooh. Here's the thing about flip-flops, babe. There are people out there that have sweaty hands. There are people out there who have sweaty armpits. And there's people out there who have sweaty feet. And the best way for them to keep their feet cool while feeling great about themselves is wearing some freaking flippity-flops, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, sit down. I'm still talking. Also, too, I'm glad you brought up the whole thong thing, because that's what they're called back in the day when Jesus was probably wearing them.
That
so
thong,
if Jesus
the thong,
wore
thong,
them,
thong.
Then I guess they're super
Let
dope.
Me
you know what I mean?
See that thong.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
There's no singing during this debate.
I just saw Cisco enter the room with your flip-flop debate.
The point is, Saz, is that flip-flops, whether you like them or not, they are necessary to striving and thriving. And when we go to the beach in 2 weeks and this summer, you will be wearing flip-flops just like I will.
And that's
because
okay
they are the perfect,
because we are
no,
going
no, no.
to
Let me finish.
The beach.
Let me finish. If we're going to dinner at the beach and we're going to be on like a sandy, like, you know, lit up restaurant on the beach and we're going to get freaking sand, I'm not wearing some loafers so that sand can get in between my toes and scrub me to death, okay? I'm going to be wearing flip-flops with a nice outfit, a little button-up shirt, a little, you know, top button, like unbuttoned so you can see a little bit of the chest hair. And, you know, the chest hair matches the toe hair. And I think that's
you
where
done?
You see the sexiness coming out is like, anyways, what? The
are
whole
you, are
point
we talking
is that,
like Old Navy flip-flops, you know, the ones that came
no,
in
I think
all
you
the
gotta,
colors?
No, okay, I think you got to invest in some decent flops. I mean, you don't want to go out there with like the cheapy flops. I mean, but
the fact
you,
that it's called flip-flop, like it's flop. It's like a, ugh, like, I think it's a, no. The only
Loppy?
The only flip-flops I want to see is on Amari's feet.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine Amari?
Do they even have flip-flops
see?
That little?
There you go. You just rebutted yourself. If Amari was wearing flip-flops, they would be dang sexy.
Because you know for a fact her feet, she's never walked on her feet. Her feet are like butter perfect. On the back. So perfect. Delicious. If I saw her in flip-flops, I would eat those toes. Now, when I see you in flip-flops, I don't want to eat your toes.
Well, I don't want to eat your toes at any point in time. But also, too,
kinky.
There are people out there who be looking at some feet like, and I, whoever's listening out there, you don't have to tell anyone about that because that is weird. Okay?
Actually, there's a wiki feet. There's an actual wiki feet, and my feet are on there.
Derailed.
They have taken screen grabs of my feet from my Instagrams over the years, and I have a good rating. I'm not going to lie. They've given me a good rating on my feet.
No, Saz. I want to hear from the TGL fam in the review section, y'all. Let us know if flip-flops are sexy, yes or no. Are flip-flops sexy? Can they be sexy? We want to hear from you. Or are they doomed for life to be unsexy, non-sexy? Anyways, that wraps up this first segment of...
Up for debate!
Up for debate! Beep, 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 beep. I feel like I need to get...
You need to work on your sound effect board because...
I need to get a... Like, what is, okay.
Oh, stop
okay,
laughing.
Sorry, we're still working on the sound effect board. All right, fam, stick around. Coming up right now, we've got an interview with Sarah Jakes Roberts. So great to have her on the show. She's an awesome woman. We've actually been to her church
T.D.
in L.A.
T.D. Jakes' daughter.
She's awesome. Her husband, Teray Roberts, he's awesome
he
as well.
He is so good.
But it's all about her today. We're talking about her new book, Woman Evolve. We're talking about her past, how to get rid of your shame, how to use vulnerability to your advantage, how to become a leader in your own life. It's an awesome episode. Stick around. This interview is about to get good, and you missed out.
I know. I'm going to be listening to this because I was on mom duty.
Saz is taking
notes. A hard week.
All right, here we go.
All right, for all my CBD lovers out there, let's talk about CBD. All right, I don't know about you guys, but being in the beauty industry, I have seen it being used in tons of beauty products. Now, not all CBD products are the same. I've noticed that quality is something that's really important to look for. Doing your research, especially on the brand, to really see the behind the scenes, like what is, how much of CBD is in their products, what it's actually going to do to help you out. But it can actually be a really great thing, whether it's a supplement that you're taking or it's in your skincare regimen or your wellness regimen. So Fittish is a brand that we've talked about here on The Good Life. And what they're doing is they have incorporated CBD in so many of their products. It's basically a high quality plant powered a CBD that will help you overcome so many different issues that we know CBD can help you with, whether it's sleep deprivation, being stressed, helping clear your skin up, feeling more balanced. They have tons of varieties of products with that. Now, recently, I've obviously been dealing with some hair thinning. So for me, when I looked at all their products, they let me kind of choose some stuff. I had to try their CBD hair plumping serum. Now, this is for dealing with hair loss and thinning. I've only recently been trying it just on the areas right where my curtain bangs are underneath that I'm waiting until they grow back. The little baby hairs are slowly but surely growing back. But I've only tried it just a few times, so I can't really give you my full honest review other than so far so good. I feel like it's not that I haven't seen it make any difference, but when I do use it on the days that I am getting ready, I do somehow, some way, I don't know if it's in my head, I do feel like it's helping the hair follicles in that region slowly but surely start to come out and start to grow again. So I've been trying that. I'll keep you updated on that as well. But again, if you want to check out their products, they have so many things across the board. So you just got to go online and check out some of their stuff. Hundreds of thousands of people dealing with issues from acne to severe cases of dry skin. They definitely have tried and love Fittish. So if you want to try it out, you can go to Fittish.com and see some of the testimonials they have there and their reviews. You can try Fittish CBD for yourself to get the best wellness in the game at Fittish.com. That's Fittish.com. And just enter in Sazon15 if you want 15% off your order. That's right, 15% off your order. Shout out to Fittish for hooking you guys up. Fittish, a clear mind and a clear skin for the win.
All right, TGL fam, on the show, we've got Sarah Jakes Roberts. Sarah, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you for having me.
Man, I'm excited to have you here. Obviously, we know your dad, TD Jakes, but Sazon and I know you as well. We've been to your church, like we just talked about, in LA. You guys have an awesome church, I have to tell you. I want to first say, when we came to your church, it reminded me of the church that I grew up in, and I was like, oh, thank God. Like, worship here is really fun.
No, that's one of the things. And, you know, I grew up, the Potter's House is more traditional Dallas. The Potter's House is more traditional in Dallas. And yet when I first visited LA, the church that my husband started, I just felt like it was like, this is the thing that I did not even know that I needed. I love worship. It's an experience. Like, it's an actual experience. I miss it so much.
Oh man. You guys go in there. Like, I was like, man, you guys go into the beginning and the end, which I love. It was tons of fun. So I'm actually really excited to have you on here today to talk about your new book, Woman Evolve. But obviously just all the themes that kind of led you to in your own life, kind of write this book and the journey that it took for you to get here. And so before we jump into all that stuff, I just kind of want to rewind the tape a little bit and kind of go back to like your story and your testimony, because everybody knows your dad, TD Jakes, right? And there's a lot of pressure that comes with being TD Jakes' daughter. And there's a lot of pressure that comes with just being a pastor's daughter in general, right? It feels like you're constantly under a microscope. So I just want to go back to like your childhood, your raising, and kind of the journey that brought you to who you are today.
Sure. I would not have known how much of a microscope we were living under until actually I feel like I came into parenthood. Because my dad's been in ministry since before I was born. I was born on a Sunday. My mom left church to go give birth to me. All of us were born on Sunday. So like, church is just like how we came into the world. And yet I don't think that I realized just how intense the scrutiny was until I started raising my own children in it. As a young girl, though, one thing I knew for sure, though, is that I needed to find where I fit in this ministry. And it's kind of hard because you guys know, like, TD Jakes, like, this mega ministry. But when I was growing up, we were a storefront church with 50 families. And there was no place for me trying to figure out where I fit because we were just all family. It wasn't until we moved to Dallas and 1,500 people joined the first Sunday in 1996 that I realized, okay, so this for me as a young girl is a complete culture shift than what I was used to. And I felt so desperately that I needed to do something or be something to be a part of this gigantic ministry. And I just couldn't find where I fit. I don't sing. I don't have any of the traditional gift talents. Like, I'm not this like crazy prayer warrior. Like, I'm a prayer warrior in my own right. But you know, that what is celebrated in our church and our community, I didn't have that. I can't sing. I wasn't preaching. I didn't know where I fit. And so I kind of found myself lost in the sauce, trying to just at least connect with my peers. And that need to be connected led me to making the choice. I got pregnant at 13. I had my kid at 14, which made me feel even more alienated from this good girl preacher's daughter role. And so I just decided to just kind of take a big back seat to anything ministry related, anything church related. I kind of did my own thing for really about 10 years after I got pregnant, just because I just knew in my mind that I didn't fit. And so, I mean, I dropped out of school. I was in a toxic marriage. There's a whole book about this part of my life in general. I waitress at a strip club. Like, I just was not thinking about God. And it wasn't until I was in this crazy situation where I was talking to an officer about a decision that I had made and how it affected my children that I really came to this point in my life where I had to choose, like, how long are you going to keep running? How long are you going to keep staying on this journey of just running away from this identity and trying to run away from who God is? And that was really a turning point in my life in which I decided to get real about knowing who God is. And from that point, I really saw my change and shared my change via a blog. And it kind of led me to where I am now, because people started connecting with this girl who was on a journey trying to become the best version of herself, despite what happened in her past. Answer in the world.
No, I love it, because we got to unpack the bags here. It reminds me of, I don't know why, when you're talking about, you know, growing up in church, saying, I don't have the traditional gifts, that's like, oh, wow, she can sing, or, oh, she's good at this. You know how people, like, in church just kind of elevate those, like, easy to spot talents. It reminds me of, like, this old these old British TV shows where they show, like, back in the day, they're like, Sarah, would you play us the piano? And it's like, Sarah's like, if she can't play the piano, everyone's like, ooh, why can't she play the piano? But there's these, I mean, growing up in church, there are these weird kind of things where it's like, you got status because, ooh, you worship really loud, or like, you can sing, or you're on the dance team. And it's just like, no, that's not God's, like, that's not, God doesn't care about that stuff. I mean, if you can, great. If you can't, whatever, don't worry about it. But I could see how you easily just kind of felt like church naturally was pushing you away. And I know there's a lot of people like that, when God's heart is always just to draw you in. And so I wanted to talk about too, like, your journey back to God. Do you feel like, you said you went on this 10-year journey, right, where you were just walking away, it's kind of like the prodigal son. Did you feel like there was always, though, when you woke up in the morning or in the middle of the night, did you feel like there was always this tug of God, you know, kind of coming through the weeds and saying, like, no, that doesn't matter, just come back to me?
No, I didn't feel that way. What I felt,
I want the real.
Yes, I always felt it. No, I didn't feel that. What I felt for sure, though, is that, like, I'll get to it when I get to it. When I have something that I feel like has worth and has value and that can be celebrated as a redemption story, then I'll come back. You know, I wanted to give God something that I felt was worthy of his love. And I think that is what I really had to dissect in my relationship, is that I made my connection with God based off of what I wanted to present to him and what I wanted to give to him, especially after everything that I'd gone through. And it robbed me of the reality that God wants to give me him. So I was rejecting God's love because I didn't feel like I had a love worthy of giving, but it robbed me from this opportunity to just receive God's love in my most broken places. And so I wish that I could say that that pull was there, but I think I was so focused on what I wanted to do and how I wanted to show up in the world and what I wanted to give God, that I missed that God wanted to give me, broken me, insecure me, pregnant me, a version of himself that could meet me in my darkest places.
So you felt like you needed to basically be something or become someone before you could, like, take that journey. Am I getting that
for
right?
For sure.
I feel like there's a lot of people like that too, right? And it's obviously, like, God's heart. To me, one of my favorite stories is, like, the part, and I think similar to you, like, I was raised in the church and just love God a ton, but there was really a time in my life, I think when I was probably in college, where it was just really kind of finding my own relationship with God and, like, learning to hear his voice for myself and what that picture looked like between me and him. And one of my favorite passages, you know, is about Mary Magdalene. And it's just all the things that happen in that moment. Like, it's like if Jesus was a man, right? He felt the peer pressure of being around those other people, being like, this lady is wicked and all this stuff. And she was caught and everyone knows. And him as a person was like, I'm going to step in front of everybody, right? And go to her in front of them, right? And be on her side. When the world was like, no, no one should be on her side. And God really showed me, like, that's you, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't have to come to me. I'm coming to you. And like that to me, I was just like, oh my, when I got that, you know, I was like crying like a big baby, like, God, I don't have to be, because I've spent a lot of my life, and a lot of what your new book is about and a lot of what you talk about is things that I've had to wrestle with, where it's like, I'm trying to be something so that God can use me. Right. But what you're saying is like, there's a surrender. And I think there's an acknowledgement of your past and what you've been through. And so a lot of that too, you talk about in your first chapter where you're talking about falling in love with Eve in the Bible. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So I used to say, I mean, even when I wasn't connected to God and church and really living my life for God, I used to say, like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to, like, me and Eve gonna have to talk, because my girl messed it up for all of us out here. We gave you one job, sis, and you could not do your one job. And
can you imagine if Adam ate the apple, right? Would men have periods? Right? That's all I want to know.
We have questions. No, we have questions about this. But, you know, I started speaking after I shared my story and women were connecting to my message. And, you know, I got to speak at all of these different conferences and stuff. I was at this conference and they had on these shirts and it had all of these women of faith that we celebrate in the Bible, Sarah, Esther, Mary, Ruth, but no one had Eve on their shirt. And I was thinking to myself, really more in a cynical way, like, I know why they don't have Eve on that shirt. And I was like chuckling, having a good laugh in myself. And then I felt convicted for saying that. And I couldn't figure out why I felt convicted. And then I went back and I just started reading her story again, trying to figure out why I felt convicted. And all of a sudden, I just saw Eve differently. I saw Eve as myself, as someone who knew better, but didn't do better, but still picked up the pieces of her life after that moment and dared to evolve based on what God said after her mess ups and her mistakes and her trials. And I just wanted to rescue Eve. And I felt like if I could rescue Eve, that I could rescue any woman. And so Woman Evolved for me, not just the book, but the movement in general, is for me to rescue every woman who's ever felt like Eve, but most importantly, to bring her to the reality that there was a promise even in the middle of her brokenness and her missteps and disappointments.
Y'all, today's episode, we're talking a lot about some of the shame of your past, how to move past that. And one of the best ways to get through that is definitely not by yourself, but with help from others. And what's nice is that one of the sponsors on today's show, BetterHelp, is here to help you do that, y'all. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to actually see anyone on camera, which is nice if you're scared of COVID and don't want to go out or you have a pre-existing condition. BetterHelp makes everything easy by doing it online, and it's much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Of course, we got a code for y'all. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our TGL fam listeners get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Cezanne. betterhelp.com/Cezanne, BetterHelp.com/Cezanne. Cannot urge you enough, y'all. If you're somebody going through something, you need therapy, check out BetterHelp, y'all. Use that discount code and please work out your issues with somebody who cares. Man, that's a lot right there. That's a lot to unpack. I mean, you just said so many things that are like, bing, bing. And it's, I think every person, right, has to go on a journey. And one thing that I've actually been realizing lately too is like, vulnerability is like a predecessor of leadership.
Yeah.
Right?
Should be. Mm-hmm.
When in your life did you feel like, was there a point in your life where you just felt like, you know what, I'm tired of trying to be something, to achieve something, and you really kind of opened that door because, you know, you and your husband are on a literal public stage, and then you've got the public stage of being on, you know, Instagram and all the pressures that come with that these days. What was it like for you to kind of become that person and start opening up, being vulnerable, and using kind of your vulnerability to be a leader?
That, I mean, in 2010, I think it was, my dad was having this conference, and I got pregnant before like social media. So like nowadays, if I got pregnant and I was in my family, you know, it would be on TMZ. It would be on the Shade Room. It would be news that you could not escape or avoid. But God was kind of gracious in that this happened before any of those social media cultures or environments existed. And so the issue with that, though, is that as I began to gain credibility in these spaces, no one knew that I had had my kid at an early age. They knew that I inspired them. They knew they were connected to me, but they didn't understand why. And in 2010, I had this blog and I was writing under my former married name, and no one knew this secret about me. And my dad was having this conference called Woman Thou Art Loose, and there were like 20,000 women in attendance. They were streaming online, and they asked me would I introduce my dad. Now, first of all, this is a big thing for me because, you know, public speaking is really not, has not always been my thing. It feels weird saying that because I speak so much now, but it's not really my jam like that. Mm-hmm. And so they asked me if I would introduce my dad, and I was like, sure, whatever, because like God's stretching me, and so I'll do it. But I knew in that moment that I wanted to tell people my truth. And so I told people about me getting pregnant at 13 and having my kid at 14. And that vulnerability for me was really hard because I didn't know what people would say or think about me after that. But what happened in that moment is that it gave so many other people permission to own their story and to own their scars, that I knew that part of what I would have to do with the platform God gave me was to be vulnerable. And that is what I believe has connected people. There are people who view your journey, and then there are other people who sign up to be connected to your journey. And I think people are connected to me because I do share my insecurities and my fear and my anxiety, but I also share how I stretch myself to do it anyway. And people want to be connected to people who are doing it anyway, in spite of themselves, but with God's grace.
Wow. That's really good. So do you feel like for a lot of the women, even men listening right now, who are thinking like, I want to do that, but I just can't, like, you know, my shame or my past, it's hard to acknowledge even to myself. So I don't want to share it with anyone. You know what I mean? Like, why do you feel like we feel imprisoned by our past, you know, and how do we break out of that prison, like step by step?
You know, one of the things I write in the book, and, you know, there are people who are reading it right now. I don't know when this comes out. It comes out my book comes out in April, but people have pre-order copies of it now. And someone highlighted this part that really struck me even now, but fear pretends to keep us safe. Faith challenges us to have courage we aren't sure that we possess. And I think that what happens when we have shame is that it almost feels like it's trying to keep us safe. Like, don't tell anyone because you're going to be judged. Stay in this prison because it's going to make you feel safe and you won't have to worry about being exposed. But the only problem with that is that we end up living divided, putting a part of ourselves that is a part of our identity in a corner. And until we bring that out of the corner, we're not able to be healed. And so whenever people are inspired by me sharing my story, I make it emphatically clear that I do not share my wounds. I share my scars. My wounds are still open. They can be infected by opinions. They can be infected by judgments. What I share is what God has already healed. So if you cannot hear your own story without feeling shame, it is not time for you to tell everyone. You've got to come to a place where you can recite your story and ask God to heal those wounds. What did your story say about you? What does it make you feel? What thoughts are connected with that? And how do we use God's word to dissect and confront and transform those thoughts so that we change our mind about ourselves? Because when you change your mind about yourself, you can empower someone else to do the same, but you can't give what you don't have. So don't just share it for the sake of sharing it. That's transparency. But vulnerability is sharing it because there's wisdom and healing connected to it that I want everyone else to be a part of.
Wow. That was great. That's a really, really good point. I think too, even for me in my life, I look back on like certain things and I just like I'll watch like an old clip of myself. You know, my wife and I have been doing like TV stuff for a long time, and I watch like an old clip of myself and I like can't watch it. And she's like, why can't you watch yourself? And I'm like, what I'm doing, right? I just know what I'm thinking and my moves and all that. And I'm like, I'm uncomfortable. You know, I'm like actually uncomfortable. She's like, why do you care? She's like, it's just you and me. I'm like, I don't know. But honestly, I think there's a part of myself, you know, that sees my old self, right? And there's this weird mm-hmm. shame there.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I know my thoughts, you know? It's like, I know who I am, and I don't necessarily like that old person, you know? But what you're saying is kind of like accepting God's like grace and his healing, right? And that's where you begin to affect change. And I feel like that's so powerful because so many of us have to be walking around with wounds, right? And we're wondering, yeah, like, how can I become vulnerable when we haven't even taken the steps to healing, right?
Yeah. No, and I love what you said. So, okay, so I do that too. I don't watch when I preach. I can watch almost anything else that I do except for when I preach. And I think that it is because it is such an out-of-body experience for me that it doesn't really feel like me. Like, it is literally God taking over. And so I have, like, been challenged lately to make sure that I watch what God is doing in my life. Because I have spent more time trapped in shame and insecurity and fear than I've spent walking in the fullness of my identity of God. And so it is weird for me to see me walking in that. But yet if we don't see it, we're going to miss out on God, on how God has transformed us. So I just wanted to share in that with you, you know. And I've preached in some, you know, incredible spaces and opportunities. And like, even when it's time to pull clips, I'm like, whatever you guys think to be on social media, that's fine. But I've been challenging myself to not miss what God is doing in my life by being too afraid to look at it because I know who I used to be.
Real talk, you guys. One of my biggest challenges this past year has been finding a fitness routine that I can knock out at home at any time. I mean, my workouts used to be so strategic, like first thing in the morning, and I loved that. But let's be real, I'm just in a season of life right now where I'm lucky if I even get my workout in for the day. And when it comes to living, I feel like, a balanced life, I could be having the craziest day ever, but if I just get that little 30 minutes of time for myself to get in a workout, I cannot tell you what it does for my mind, my body, and my spirit. So I've been really happy to discover that nowadays there are so many alternatives to just going to the gym and using machinery. You can actually get in an incredible workout that does everything that you need it to do, literally in the comfort of your own home. So if you guys have heard of Bar 3, they have these workouts that are combining everything from cardio, strength and conditioning, and also mindfulness, so that by the end of it, when your heart is pumping and racing, your mind also just has this, like, I can't describe it. It's like this really just like jump start to just finish out the rest of your day and be productive and to feel like there's focus. I do love at-home workouts. You guys know I always talk about all the different ones that I have tried over the years. What's great about these ones is they have live workouts, and I really enjoy, I cannot tell you, sometimes getting into a live workout and how much more that motivates me to crush it. So they've got 10 to 60 minute workouts that you can check out. And whether you're a busy mama like me, or you're just trying to find more time in your day to feed your body with what it needs, you guys got to check out Bar 3, because they are going to hook you guys up with 75% off your subscription. If you go to bar3.com/Cezanne and enter in my name under the promo code Cezanne, they're going to hook you guys up with that 75% off, and you're getting a 15-day free trial. I mean, it's worth trying. Why not? Maybe you've been wanting to feel a little stronger, more energized. Just give it a try. It might be a game changer for you. Again, that's bar3.com/Cezanne. Love you, fam.
Man, that's so good. Do you think that too, in your journey, was there somebody particularly, and what do you think about, like, you know, you read like a book, right? And there's always like these main characters and these themes, and there's the hero, right? But the hero always has like a guide. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. God is our guide. But people really, Amen. It talks about how, like, when you confess like what you're going through to your brother, or your sister, right? There's literal healing when you just, you just talk about it, you let it out. Right. And so many people let these things like fester and they think about it in their mind, whether it's their shame or anxiety that they're going through right now. Was there like a guide in your story? And I'm sure you probably had a few, but was there somebody who really helped you unlock your just sharing your authentic self and kind of leading you to be that person?
My husband did it. When I first met my husband, I was actually promoting my memoir, which talks about all of those incredible details that I shared in 5 minutes on the podcast. But I felt weird and awkward being a God girl and also like knowing the lyrics to Lil Wayne songs. You know, it just felt like
right. Why can't we just be both?
Right. It just felt like there was no space for that.
Hey, but listen, I know him too. So cheers.
Come on, somebody. I love it because that's my truth. And it didn't fit. I still didn't feel like I fit in this church space. And my husband and our church in Los Angeles, and he started the church before we got married, was finally the place where I felt like the dichotomy of my identity can exist within one soul and still be used for the glory of God. And my husband taught me to connect what I thought was me, just I feel, I sense to like God is telling me, God is showing me, to understand that God was speaking to me. He validated what I felt and what I sensed as the Holy Spirit leading me. And it allowed me to be more confident in my offering. So when we do tour events, like our pre-show, like, you know, I love it. I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but like people come out to our events and it's like you've got girls dressed like they're going to like a revival night. And then you've got girls dressed like they're going to the club because they just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They just know that they're coming out for a good time. And we're able to marry like, girl, let your hair down. Let's have fun. Let's dance. But at the end, there is undeniable glory that falls in the room. And I needed a place where people could be all of who they are. Like, don't cut yourself off when you come into the room. Like, I know you know Beyonce just dropped an album. So come in here. Let's talk about Lemonade. But then let's also talk about what God is doing in your life.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That is such my vibe, too. I'm telling you. When I feel like I walk into a church and I can't be myself, I'm like, man, this is not right. This is, you know,
yeah.
This is not right. Like, there needs to be an openness and a flow. And like you said, like, people can come in as they are. You know what I mean? And like, God can love on you right there. And so I'm so with you. I'm so about that. And I feel like that's God's heart, right? God's house is an open house. He's like, come on in. Come on in. You're welcome. I made some food. Sit down. We got some snacks. I mean, if Jesus was Middle Eastern, they definitely got snacks. My wife is Middle Eastern. If you come over, we got snacks. We got snacks on snacks. So just believe that. Do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. So, Sarah, like, let's go talk about your new book before you get out of here, Woman Evolve. So, the major themes of this book, what do you want women to walk away with? What do you want to have unlocked in them after they read this book and experience what you're talking about?
My goal with Woman Evolve is to get women to embrace every part of who they are. Not just embracing your past and what you've gone through, though that is important, but embracing your potential and your power and the ability that we have to change the world. My prayer is that this book would awaken women to recognizing that you are the gateway to breakthrough, that our communities, our families become better when a woman takes up space, and not in this way of like we're putting everyone else down to take up space, but I'm taking up space so that I can lift everyone else up, not just my gender. I want to see men win. I want to see women win. I want to see our children win. But I think so often we've been conditioned to shrink, especially if we've ever gone through something that people would end up counting us out for. And yet I believe wholeheartedly that like Eve and like Mary and like all of these other women of faith that we admire in the Bible, that we have the opportunity to be this beautiful oxymoronic version of ourselves that ultimately empowers other people to revolutionize their life. So I've been saying this over and over again, that the revolution we're looking for is closer than it appears. We just have to be willing to go in so that it can spring forth.
That's, man, so many of us need that right now. You know, we need an evolution. I wake up right now being 31 years old and I think about, you know, where I'm at now. And I have the most serious thoughts I've ever had in my life. I'm a very goofy person, but like I wake up in the middle of the night and I think about my legacy. And the only thing that I feel like keeps me from taking steps forwards, right, is the pain of my past. And it's like you said in your book, you said, what's an area of your life where you continue to repeat a cycle that ends with you feeling less valuable that, my dear, is your forbidden fruit. And now consider how evolving for the better in that area would change your life. That's the new pattern I want you to achieve. And that right there is so good, because I just believe that the devil uses dope, you know, to dose us, to keep us down, to keep us, you know, it's not that he's necessarily trying to steal you away, you know, like a lamb from the pack, but he's trying to come in there and give you a little hit of something, a little morphine or something to keep you, you know, relaxed, or, you know, not to be your full self, right? Just to keep you doped up. And so I've been feeling that way as well, where it's like, what are the areas in my life where there's a repetitive cycle that kind of stops me from moving forward? And so I just truly believe that this book is so powerful to help people to acknowledge that, to acknowledge their past, and to move forward. But I wanted to ask you, I got two more questions for you. What is something now that you are kind of like, what's a new challenge that you are evolving in currently and trying to push yourself into?
I'm really pushing myself into owning my leadership identity. I think even in the way that I kind of, you know, began this platform, is that like it was very much about me being one of them, you know, like we are the same. And so I think that that made it comfortable for me. But also I recognize now that because of how God has moved into my life, that people see me as a guide, and to not just be so focused on making sure that I fit in with them and that they know that I am relatable and one of them, but to make sure that I am intentional about where I'm leading women. When you talk about legacy, like it's one thing to be able to get women in a room and to create this phenomenal experience, but I have to be more intentional about making sure that I am leading them to themselves, that I am leading them to God's version of who they are. And so for me, I'm stretching myself to own that I have a vision worthy of sharing with women, that God has anointed me to not just have a one-off connection with them, but to grow with them. And so I've been asking God for vision to lead well, not just women, I'll say, because my husband and I, we pastor a church that obviously is not just women. There are men and women a part of it. And so I've been asking God to show me who I am as a leader.
Man. And I think you're doing a tremendous job. I know that so many women just, and men too. I mean, it's, we see ourselves in your human experience, right? And the journey that you've gone on, and the themes that you've gone through to be who you are today, and just kind of taking those steps. And it's cool that when you answer the call, you really do see, like you can look back on, you know, 15, 20, 30 years, and you can see how God clearly has walked with you, but also too, you've put in the work, you know, you've accepted the challenge. You've seen the obstacle and been like, I'm going to climb it. And he's like, I'm right here. Let's go. You know, like a great coach would be coaching you through that. And so I've been very inspired by your story today, by your new book, Woman Evolve. And before you get out of here, we always ask our guests, what's good in your life right now?
What's good in my life right now? Sleep. Sleep is like one of my favorite things.
I'm with you.
I don't have acceptable answers here, but sleep is like just so good to me. I just woke up this morning and I was like, sleep, you are out here doing your thing. I just love what happens when we get together. that is good.
What are you like, solid 8 or 9? Like, what's going on?
When I can, you know, I got 6 hours last night, but it's doing what needs to be done. But this weekend, I'm going to make sure that I hit those 8, because God is worthy and he wants me to have those 8 hours. Oh, I know he does.
Oh, I'm so with you. Like, I think I've struggled with like rest guilt. I think it was my dad waking me up being like an army kid. He was an army kid. He thought I needed to be. And I was like, just chill, dude. He was like, you're homeschooled, you're lazy, get up. And I was just like, I still hear that voice at 31 years old. I'm like, I think I could sleep a little bit. Then my daughter comes in, so that's over. But I'm with you. Sleep 100%. Sarah, this was a lot of fun. Hopefully we get to see you again next time we're in LA. Yeah. Come out to your church. You guys, you got to check out their church, One Church in Los Angeles. Sarah, thank you so much. Everybody check out her book, Woman Evolve. Sarah, this was so much fun to have you on The Good Life.
Thank you. I had a good time.
Thank you. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode of The Good Life, y'all, and that interview with Sarah Jakes Roberts. Make sure that you check out her new book, Woman Evolve, and also let us know if you like the new segment of Up for Debate with Saz and Steve. The simple question is, are flip-flops sexy or are they not? Let us know in the review section. Tell us who won the debate. I think I know who it is. But anyways, we'll leave that for next time. Y'all enjoy your Easter. If you are celebrating Easter with us, enjoy your Passover. If you're celebrating Passover, we're so thankful to have you with us here on The Good Life. We'll be back next week. I think we're going to be talking relationships next week. What do you think, Saz?
I'm down. Just leave the flip-flops at home.
Well, we'll actually talk about that next week.
Just throw them away. Burn them.
That's enough from you. All right, y'all. See you next week. Do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Everybody, this is Julie Chrisley inviting you to listen to our podcast, Chrisley Confessions, on the Podcast One Network. Each week, we play listener voicemails and offer advice, suggestions, and opinions based on our own life experiences. Also, listen in to get the latest updates on all things Chrisley. New episodes every Wednesday on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music.